Thank you, Lindsay. Last speaker before our question and answer session is David Hall. David's the Chief Risk Officer of the Hollard Insurance Company. And prior to working at Hollard, he worked primarily as a consultant for 10 years, first with Deloitte, where he was a director in their financial crime division at Deloitte Forensic, and then with Marsh Risk Consulting, where he specialised in the Asia-Pacific Financial Centre consulting area. He's had a background with fraud risk management in particular, but has obviously broadened out into other areas, more recently advising a number of clients on risk management matters in general insurance and wealth management industries. So please join us, David.
Thanks very much, Tony. It's both a good and bad thing to go last in a plenary session such as this. Good in that it's great that I can take advantage of what everyone before me has said, paraphrase it and sound very intelligent. And I'll also be taking the information that we got earlier regarding the importance of having CRO pay close to that of the CEO. I'll be advising my CEO of that when I get back to the office. The downside is, of course, you run the risk of repeating what has gone before, so I've tried to take a slightly different slant at this question. Now, I've recently made the move from the third line of defence to the second line of defence, to get the terminology correct. I was head of internal audit at Hollard for the last 3 years. So that move has brought with it some new challenges for me, so it was particularly interesting for me to listen to the previous speakers, who I'm sure I could learn a lot from. The way I want to approach this is, first of all, to talk about some of the things that are keeping me awake at night, and then take that into the ERM, the role that the ERM can play in resolving these sorts of issues. I work in the general insurance sector, which is a world of increasing regulatory pressure and an increasing rate of regulatory change. We have a period of changing weather patterns. 3 or 4 years ago, I had no idea what El Nino and El Nina and the like were. These days, they seem to plague my nightmares. And those changing weather patterns have impact on actuarial models, on underwriting models, and on reinsurance costs, which have become a great risk for many general insurers. We're also in a period of structural change within the general insurance industry. There's the growth of contestable platforms, emergence of new competitors, of which we are obviously one, and new brand entrants into the market, such as supermarkets, and the impact of the entrance of those brands in overseas jurisdictions can't be underestimated. So when I started looking at all these sorts of risks that we face, I found them sort of naturally grouping into certain themes. The first is obviously insurance risk. I think most of the people in the room as actuaries are very, very aware of the various complexities of insurance risk. It's a fairly new thing for me, so I'm still learning. But also, the sort of other really emerging theme for me was around technology risk. And technology, to say today that technology risk is a key issue, is unusual, given that you'd have probably said the same thing 10 years ago, and you'll probably still be saying the same thing 10 years from now. And technology risk can manifest in many, many ways. There's obviously things like the growth of social media. Nowadays, bad customer service to just one customer has the potential to actually damage your reputation far more broadly than it might have done previously. There's issues of data and its use, the security of that data, data privacy, the use of big data for modelling and predictive analytics to enhance underwriting practices, and as I mentioned earlier, the emergence of contestable platforms having an impact on our industry. There's also an opportunity here for us to use these changes, the technology risk, to take the opportunity here to implement technology to drive down administration costs and to enhance our customers' experience and service. And we need to look at how we maximise that opportunity more. And this then comes to the floor of how do you actually identify those technology risks that have opportunity and indeed any other risk that has a related opportunity to it. And that goes to the core of the best benefits you can get out of your enterprise risk management system. One of the great advances that we've made over the last 10 years in risk management as a discipline is that I think we've won the war at the boardroom. I would be very surprised to hear that there are many directors now who don't consider risk management to be critically important. Where I don't think we have won the war yet is down through the senior executive team and into the more junior members of staff. And unfortunately, when we look at a lot of these risks and what we really need our enterprise risk management system to deliver, it's an identification of those risks at the more granular level. It's an identification, that identification is best delivered by more junior staff or your middle management team, because they are the people at the coalface. So when developing our enterprise risk management systems, it's critical that we enable those people to actually identify the risks, be it in technology or any other areas, and the opportunities that they present in order to ensure the risks get escalated and we can enjoy the benefit of it. Now, I don't have the answer of how you drive risk culture into middle management down into the frontline employees, but I think it's an absolutely critical question, because I think enterprise risk management can no longer be something that we just talk about at the boardroom. I think it's something that is very important we embed down into our organisations. Thank you.